Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, isn't it good to be in the presence of God together and worship Him? Don't you appreciate our worship team? Aren't they a blessing? Amen. It's so good. So good. Hey, listen, we start today officially our live streaming. And so if you're watching on live stream, hello, we're glad to have you. Pray God does something great in your heart. And so if you're not in church or you're out of town or whatever, or you want to let somebody know about it, you can check it out on our website. I believe it's live.lifeatvictory.com, and you can live stream the service. So that's available today. So that's some more opportunities for people to hear the word of God, or not just our church, but around the world. And so also want to thank every person who signed up to be a part of serving in Next Generation. 242 people have joined their hearts to help us reach our children for Christ. Isn't that incredible? Thank you 1,000 times over for doing that. It will make a difference for time. It will make a difference for eternity. It will make a difference in your family lineage. It will make a difference. And many of you that have signed up, you have some next steps to take. Make sure if you haven't yet filled out your application or filled out the paperwork to get your clearances, because we do background clearances on everybody who serves in kids ministry. It's now recently, in the last couple years or so, become a state requirement even for churches. We've done it for years before that. Aren't you glad you come to a church where we look at who watches your kids? Come on. It matters. So we need you to take those next steps, and I know you've received phone calls and emails and letters, and so you know where to go, and make sure you do that. And if you want to get involved in serving in Next Generation, you can still sign up and be a part of that as well. Trainings are beginning, and we are going to see our team, existing Dream Team, and those who serve in that ministry. We're going to give them some space so they can come to church. Even some of my staff that rarely gets to come into the service, we're going to be able to give them a bit of a respite and get them in here so they can get fed as well. And we are going to see a generation, our own children, they will walk by faith and not by sight. They will possess the gates of their enemy, and they will not be overcome by darkness of a culture. Amen? And so thank you for that. I want to remind you as well, Children's Camp is coming up, as is Jack Camp. Jack Camp is our camp just for our Thrive age group, 9 through 12, that is 9th grade through 12th grade. And it's June 27th through July 1st. And then the Children's Camp, which is both children and middle school. Now, they're not combined. They'll be completely separated, but it's the same time and same place. That's at July 17th through 21st. So please make sure you avail yourself, your kids, of those opportunities. They're incredible, incredible opportunities. And lastly, this, I want to encourage you to join us on Facebook. You can become like the church page or my page. And when you do, you'll get all kind of information on your, what's that thing called? Your news feed. That's what it's called, your news feed on Facebook. And what we're going to be doing is a couple times a week, we're going to be giving you little like 90-second to 2-minute messages that I'll be sharing with you, other pastors will, because this is a summer of spiritual growth, and we're going to be putting the word of God out there for you so that you can just take a minute or two and have a word from God into your heart. And I'll be sharing with you on the basis of some of the things that are upcoming. This week and next week, I'm going to talk to you about how to pray. Today is going to be incredibly practical. And I want to talk to you about how to have a prayer life. And now, this is really important, is that here's the first thing you need to understand about having a prayer life. Here it is. You ready? Everybody ready? I can tell you're excited. You actually have to do it. It's not something you talk about. It's something you actually have to do. And so I want you to learn, the first key is you actually have to figure out how to do this. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Now, here's what I want you to understand about prayer. Prayer is when you get to talk to your Father in heaven. It's when you get to pour your heart out to God. Prayer is when you empty what's in your soul to Him. Prayer is a time when you take the burdens that are in your soul and you roll them over on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You cast all of your care, your weights, your anxiety, and you don't carry them. Prayer is a time when you talk to God, but as importantly, if not more importantly, here's the part that most people miss. Prayer is a time when God will talk to you. God wants to speak into your life every day of the world. You can hear from God. Your prayer life is a time when you can hear the very voice of God in your heart. Now that makes people uncomfortable. They say, well, what do you mean? Am I gonna hear voices? Well, I'll need medication. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But you read your Bible, you'll find out there was no time throughout Scripture when God was not speaking to men, including after the resurrection of Jesus. He would speak to their hearts. He would lead them. He would guide them. He would direct them. And God is not, in fact, the Scripture says it this way, I am the Lord your God, I do not change. In fact, the Scripture says in James, there's not even so much as a shadow of turning in God. He wants to speak to you about the most intimate areas of your life, as a father would his son or his daughter that he loves, or a mother would her son or her daughter out of a heart of care and compassion. This is why we exist as a church, so that you can hear God's voice and you can obey it. And can I tell you this? It's why over 50% of the square footage of this building, and you know we're about to build again, and I have put a little bit of a delay on that, and I'll explain that to you as we go a little bit further, because we've solved some of the problems, and this will give us the opportunity to pay cash. How many of you believe God? We pay cash for stuff, amen? Come on. And I'll give you more details about that, but even our next expansion, it's about our kids. We're gonna put about $3 million more into facilities for children. So that's a lot of money. The most expensive thing the people of God can do is ignore the next generation for something as silly as money. I promise you, as your pastor, I will never bow my knee to a dollar bill. I will bow my knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we will reach our children for God and whatever it takes. That's what we're here to do. We exist as a church, not just for you to hear God's voice, but for your kids to hear God's voice. For them to hear that witness of their heart. God, what are you saying to me? What do you have for me? I don't have words to tell you the desperation in my soul for your children. I am desperate for your children and my children, that they will hear the voice of God in their heart. I don't have words. Desperation isn't even sufficient. And we'll do everything that we can in our heart, because this is what it means to live the Spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled life is not just people going out and doing things that people think, well, that's kind of weird. Spirit-filled life is not weird. Spirit-filled life is living a life full of God, the Holy Spirit, where He moves in your life, He speaks in your life, He comforts you, He leads you, He guides you. He is your intercessor, your standby. The one, literally, the Bible said, called alongside to go into the ditch with you and get you out. Do you know God wants to go into the ditch of your life to get you out? That's what a prayer life does. Prayer life isn't, you know, as if you think religiously, these people are going to become a monk and they're going to go into the caves and they're going to take a vow of silence for their whole life and go into a cave and go hum, hum, ah. That's what people think it is. It's like you're going to have this weird, no, the Spirit-filled life is a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that's intimate. And I want to talk to you today about how to have a prayer life. And here's the first and most simple and practical way to do it, is that every Christian should have a devotional life. Now, what does that mean? Now, I'm going to give you five simple things today that you can do to have a prayer life. Now, for those of you that take notes, write this down. And for those of you that don't take notes, write this down, okay? Because this is how you can meet with God every day of the world. Now, here's the first step, and it's pretty simple. Set a daily appointment with God. Daily, everybody say daily. Now, how many of you have appointments you have to meet with people? How many of you ever set appointments to meet with people you don't even want to meet with? Has anybody ever had to do that? Now, I am not huge on technology. I'm getting better at it. Now, I have an iPhone. Many of you, like Steve Moore, have an Android, which I don't understand. I don't know Androids, but nonetheless, how many of you have a smartphone? Raise your hand, wave at me. How many of you have a calendar on your smartphone? How many of you can set an appointment on your calendar? Okay, so here's what I want you to do. In the house of God, yes, hallelujah, in the house of God, you could take out your smartphone right now, hallelujah. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at tomorrow and find 30 minutes in your day and set an appointment with God. And honor it like you would anything else. I'm talking about an appointment with the God of all creation, the God of the universe. You see, very often when we get to interact with important people or people of significance, we think that's a big deal. And you know, this yesterday we had the Man Up conference here through Urban Impact. Wow, what a tremendous time. We had 1,500 men in this room worshiping God, trying to be the best men we could be for Jesus. And so yesterday afternoon, I got to spend some time with Coach Tomlin. And so I was hanging out with him for about 20 minutes. It was kind of fun. And I got to tell you, if that coaching thing doesn't work out for him, that preaching thing might. I'm telling you, it was incredible. Man, if you missed it, Man Up, by the way, is coming back here next year as well. So we're going to keep having the Man Up conference right here. And I think they're shooting next year for even more. And so we're going to figure out a way to accommodate maybe up to 2,000 men in here next year at the Man Up conference. I'm telling you, it is awesome. So nonetheless, I had the opportunity to hang out with Coach Tomlin. Now, here's the deal. If you're a Steelers fan, and there were other Steelers that were here, Ramon Foster was here. He's a big man. No, I mean, he's an offensive lineman. And when I came out and he was introducing me, and I came out after he welcomed everybody, somebody came up to me and said, "Pastor John, you look like a child by him." And it made me realize that some of the bravest men on the planet play football. Because if that man wanted to hurt you, and he was a very nice man, but I looked at him and I thought, if he hit me one time, I would be in the hospital for a month. I'm serious. I know there'd be at least 3 or 4 bones that were broken, bruise a liver, something. But here's what I want to get across to you. If you're a Steelers fan, I don't want to leave ladies that are out that are not necessarily Steelers fans, but I know many of the women here are too. How many ladies here love the Steelers? Okay. But here's the deal. How about Chip and Joanna Gaines? Come on, baby. Give me some shouts for Chip and Joanna. And the Fixer Upper, baby. I know about Fixer Upper. I'm married. I watch Fixer Upper. Michelle and I, we watch it with Chip and Joanna. They are some fine human beings. And they go to one of the extension campuses of Gateway Church. They love Jesus. They're good people. Now, how about this, ladies? You get to go hang out with, how about this? Joanna Gaines is going to come to your house and redo it. How many of you thinking, thank you, Jesus? Would you miss that appointment? Would you look at your smartphone and say, nah, no time for Chip and Joanna? No, you'd open your life to Chip and Joanna because they have good things for you. They will fix her up your house. Jesus will fix her up your life. Fix her up your life and all that matters to you. You have to set a time and you have to set an appointment and you have to do it daily. So on this point, here's your takeaway. Here's two simple things you need to do when it comes to setting an appointment. Don't set an appointment for the next 6 months. Set an appointment for tomorrow. That's it. And when you finish your devotional, the last thing you do in your time of your devotion, and we're going to talk about how to do it in a moment, very practical. The last thing you do is you take out your calendar and you say, now God, where's my time with you tomorrow? And you set your appointment for the next day. And you never set it more than one day ahead. Because this isn't some religious thing that you do. Listen, life isn't static. It may not be good for you the same time every day. For me, I find it best to do it the first thing in the morning when I get up. And I'm learning more and more as I'm focusing a specific time with God, that I go to bed at night looking forward to it. That I think, okay, Lord, there's things I want to talk to you about tomorrow. There's things that I have to roll off of my heart on you. There's things I want to hear your voice about. And I want that for you. This is something you have to have in your everyday life. So step number one is set an appointment with God. Write it down and keep the appointment. Step number two, and this is something hard for us in our culture, is to be still. is get into the room and be still and then spend time in worship. Now what I do, I go in my home office, I turn on my computer, I go to YouTube, I put in worship music. I found worship music, and you can find, there's people that have put together great worship sets. No matter how old you are, how young you are, what you like. So I like the Statler Brothers. You can find them on YouTube. So what's a Statler Brother? I don't know, but they're a gospel group. How many of you ever heard of the Statler Brothers? Wait. So then when I mention something that you like and you're older, like, you just say, well, hallelujah. Because if I would have said Hillsong United, the young people would have went, okay, so Statler Brothers. Yeah, okay. Anyway, whatever you like, you find it. I found something that it's not current and it's not ancient. It's right about in my sweet spot, about 1995. No, there's old songs that I love the songs and they just speak to my heart. And so eight to 10 minutes. And I sit there and I sing with those songs in my office. And I lift my hands and I worship God and I just worship Him. Eight to 10 minutes. And I'm done. And then I just sit there and I'm silent in His presence. So step number two is be still and then just worship. You say, well, I'm not a good singer. Nobody's judging you. The Bible doesn't talk about having to have a great voice to worship. If you did, very few of us could worship. Because so many of us, I know when I sing, I grieve the Spirit. He loves to hear you worship. Even if it doesn't sound beautiful, it's on key to Him. And you sit there and you worship God. And you do that for 5 to 7 minutes. So you set an appointment. You worship God. And then the next thing you do is you read your Bible. They say, Pastor John, how do I read my Bible? Here's the most important thing you need to understand. On the inside. It's in here. Okay? So I don't know where to start. Then let me tell you some simple ways to do this. Find something, anything. In fact, go into the New Testament and you can even start this way. Don't do that in the Old Testament. Because you'll fall on the begats and you'll be going, oh, I've been gotten. The book of Proverbs, there are 31 Proverbs. There's usually 30 to 31 days in a month. Read a proverb a day. You'll go through the whole book of Proverbs in a month. And then go into the New Testament, go into the Gospels, go into the epistles, and read. And just read God's word. Now, listen to me. Don't read God's word like a duty. Read God's word like a relationship. Because when you read the word of God, listen to me, it is God speaking to you. So don't do your religious gig. Because see, I grew up with a background, and this is no criticism. But when I was taught that when you prayed, you were trying to get somewhere in prayer, and it wasn't what you said, it's how often you said it, or it was more like a penance thing. So when I prayed, it was Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, the will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every day, forgive us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother God, pray for sinners now and ever death. Amen. I prayed. Now, those of you with a Catholic background, you know exactly what I did, right? Those of you that weren't Catholic, you say, what was that? None of your business. If you're Catholic, you know exactly what I was doing, right? That's not prayer. Jesus said, don't pray vain repetitions like the heathen does. They think they will be heard for their much speaking. After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. So what did the church do? Made a vain repetition out of the prayer he prayed. Bless our hearts. And again, for my wife, Southerners, those of you that are Yankees like me, bless your heart is not sweet. That can mean two things. Bless your heart means, oh, isn't that sweet, that little child, bless her heart. Or it means, you're an idiot. Southern people are kind. They'll look you right in the eyeballs, oh, bless your heart. A Yankee would have had to look at you and go, you're an idiot. Doesn't bless your heart sound better? We can learn from the South. Anyway, so when you pray, I kind of took you out of order. I'm sorry. Because I wanted to get you to the word, but really before you even get to the word, it's important that you pray. So you come in, you set an appointment with God. You worship and then you unload your heart before God. You pray and then you get in the word. Prayer is when you talk to God. Prayer is when you talk about the things that are burdening your soul. Father, this is heavy on my heart today. Whether it's a family situation or maybe your health or your finances or a decision you have to make, and you literally take the burden of your soul and you talk to God about it. There's an area of your Christian walk that you're struggling. Do you know this? God knows you're struggling before you tell him. How many of you know that God doesn't find out you have a sin problem when you finally tell him? He's aware of it all along. So if you're struggling in an area of your life, maybe with anger or lust or whatever, you talk to God about it. Say, Lord, I'm so frustrated about this. But you said in your word that I'm to take my care and my worry and my anxiety and I'm to roll it over on you because you love me and you care for me and you affectionately care for me. And you pour your heart out to God. Next week, I'm going to get you into some of the specific things the Bible tells you to pray. But before I get you to the specifics, I want you to get the relational aspect of this. This is relational. This isn't, okay, I did my 28 minutes. I'm done, God. I'll see you tomorrow. This is an entrance to an intimacy with God that you can have in your soul throughout the day. I start my prayer every morning with this same thing every day. For years, here's what I pray. It's not a vain repetition to me, it's life to me. I start by saying this, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. You see, it's so important that we understand that it's submission to God in prayer. Lord, I wanna be the man you called me to be. I wanna be the husband you called me to be, even though I feel like I fall short. I wanna be the dad you've called me to be, even though I fall short. I wanna be the pastor I feel like you want me to be, but even though I feel like I fall short. But Father, that's who I wanna be. And I unload my heart to God. Every day of the world, it can be 20 minutes. Usually, sometimes it goes longer because let me ask you this. Anybody ever have a conversation with somebody, lasted 5 minutes, felt like 4 hours? And you're just trying to figure out things to get through the conversation. When it's finally over, you walk away and, right? Am I the only honest person in the house of Jesus? Come on. Come on. Anybody else ever deal with that right now? Have you ever been with a friend and you start talking? And 3 hours go by and you've drunk a pot of coffee and ate more food than you should have. And you forget that, where'd the time go? That's called a relationship. Most people's devotional life is more like the 5 minute conversation that feels like 4 hours because it's a religious duty. When I'm trying to get across to you, this is a relationship. Like I look forward to the time with God. And when you begin to, you say, well, Pastor John, I don't know that that's gonna work well for me in the beginning. You're probably right. Because you've not yet spent enough time to develop intimacy with God. Can I tell you this? He's already intimate with you. He loved you so much, he died for you. But when you begin to spend time with God, you're going to find more and more in your heart this intimacy. And when you go into that room, whatever your prayer closet is, remember, you pick a time and you pick a place every day and you put it in your calendar. This is when I meet with God. For me, it works best. I give myself about 10 minutes to be awake. And that's when I start. I go grab a cup of coffee and I go right into my office and it is life changing. So the first thing you do, you set an appointment. The second thing you do is you be still in your worship. The third thing you do is you pray. The fourth thing you do is you read the Word of God. You put God's Word in your heart. See, the Word of God is truth. This never changes. We live in a brain-dead society. We live in a culture set on fire of hell. We live in a culture where evil is good and good is evil, where right is wrong and wrong is right. We live in a culture that is spinning exponentially toward darkness. The things that are of discussion today, the things that are on the political agenda of our nation today are things that 25 years ago, people would have thought you were writing a bad movie. And I'm not diminishing the suffering that people go through with some of the issues. But when the agenda of a nation is what toilet you go to, it kind of gives you an indication of how far we've flushed. There is a world broken, and we're talking about toilets. It's insanity. I never mention these things without qualifying it. There are genuinely people that are suffering in this world with issues of their sexuality and their gender. And you say, wow, that's crazy. Yeah, if it were you, it wouldn't be crazy. That's somebody's son, that's somebody's daughter, that is a human being that Jesus died for that is suffering. So please don't misinterpret that when I say that. God loves people. We love people. And I don't care if you're struggling with your sexuality. I don't care if you're struggling with same-sex issues. If you're struggling even with your gender, let me tell you where you belong. You belong in church at the feet of Jesus so that he can help you. He can make you whole. He can make you free because he loves you. Not to change you, but to love you. And the love of God is what sets you free. So please understand, when I say the issue, I'm not talking about the people that suffer, because there are genuinely people that are struggling and suffering in life. And we not only should have compassion, we have an answer. We have the answer to all human suffering, a Savior. That's what he's called, because everybody needs saved. I don't care what your deal is. You say, well, I don't deal with homosexuality. I don't deal with gender confusion. Can I, how about this? You'd be happy if I put all your face right up on the screen and all the stuff you deal with up there? How many of you think, I don't want to come to the house of God if you're going to do that? Everybody has stuff. But time, the word of God is truth. And now, let me be as plain as I know how to be, not that I haven't been yet. But let me be as plain as I know how to be. Okay. Because I use plain words, and sometimes people get offended because I say stupid in church. Say, why do you use the word stupid? Because it is very descriptive, and it wakes people up. I teach my children not to say that, and you say it in church. Forgive me, but I'm going to say it in church. When people say, what is your truth? That is the most stupid thing I've ever heard uttered by a human being. There is no such thing as your truth and my truth. How about this? When is your sunrise? Well, mine's at 8:15. No, I didn't ask you when you get up. When does the sun rise? Well, my sunrise is 8:15. Well, mine is 9 o'clock at night. You can't dispute my truth. Truth is immovable. Truth has no movement. Truth is like a cement block. And here's what I want you to know about truth. Everybody you know on planet Earth within 100 years of today, virtually everybody, certainly everybody in this room, within 100 years, there will be not one variance of what you see is true, no matter what you believe, because you will be graveyard dead and you will stand before a living God who is truth. And all of the pontifications and all of this blah, 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 Charlie Brown talk, wah, 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 wah. I think it's this, and I think it. You're going to meet God. You are going to stand before his holy presence, because it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, I'm so glad Jesus bore my judgment. I'm so glad I have a Savior. But there is a way that seems right to a man, and the end of that way is death. You can try to save yourself. You can try to educate yourself into salvation. You can try to intellectualize yourself into what you think is this and think is that. But Jesus said, my word is truth, period. And so you set your agenda. You set your life. You set your heart to truth. God, this is what you say. I don't care what my crazy culture says. I don't care what my Supreme Court says, my president, my congressman, my senator, my whomever, whatever. What party they are, what party they're not. Yeah, but Pastor John, I don't want to be on the wrong side of history. Let me tell you something, dear one. You don't want to be on the wrong side of eternity. That's history. And I'm not talking about putting people down. We need to be a place of a refuge for all people. If you want to walk with God and you want to grow and you want to fight through life, we'll fight through life with you. But we will not call good evil and evil good, because it is evil to do so. It is wrong to watch a person walk toward a fire and say, well, if it's your truth to burn up, go ahead. Who am I to judge? Well, if I love you, not only do I want to help you, but if you really love somebody, you're willing to jump in that fire with them and pull them out. We all have seen videos of people who jump into fire, or a fireman that runs into a building, or somebody where a car's on fire and somebody was in another car, ran, and they literally are pulling a person out of a burning car. It could blow up and kill them any moment. That's the church. You don't judge the person who's struggling. You don't tell them, well, you need to change before we can love you and help you. All I know is that you're about to burn up, you're about to be harmed, and I'll do anything I can to help you. And we're gonna love one another, and we're gonna fight through life together. And we're gonna create in one atmosphere for our children, certainly in a culture that's so broken. So please don't misinterpret this when I talk about truth, because you're gonna see in a moment how important mercy is. So you start by setting an appointment with God. You be still and you worship, you pray. You spend time reading the Word of God. And then lastly, give yourself 10 minutes for this. You wanna sit there and listen. And then you wanna write. Now, a lot of people write in a journal. I don't like writing in a journal because I can't read my own writing. No, I'm serious. It just eventually turns into something that I need to have an interpretation of. For me, it's easier to type. I don't care what works for you, whether it's in a written form, type form, whatever. But write the things that come up in your heart. And you're gonna find when you learn to do that, you're going to have God speak to you. A while back in one of my devotions, I was talking to God in my prayer time about something that is so heavy in my heart, and it's personal for my own life. And it's just so heavy in my heart. And I'm talking to God about it. And I've worshiped and I've prayed. I've read the Word, and now I'm sitting there. And I'm just waiting on God to say, Lord, I love you. Speak to my heart. I didn't pray, I'm just sitting there. And I'm telling you, I had one of the sweetest moments with God that I've ever had in my life. Here's what he said to me. He said, what do you mean he said to you? When you have a relationship with God and you understand how to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, it's this intimate knowing that emerges up in your heart. And it's as real as if you heard someone literally speak to you. I long for you to have that. Now, I'm not talking about the book of imaginations. I'm talking about God speaking to your heart. He longs to do it for all of us. And you know what he spoke to my heart? John, I've got this. Can I tell you that moment, the burden that was on my soul was lifted. And every time it comes to my mind, and every time now I'm able to trust him in a greater way, not because I just read the Word of God, and heard and read what the will of God and the Word of God was in the book. But I was sitting there and he spoke to me. And the joy, even now when thoughts cross my mind, here's what I say immediately, John, I've got this. John, I've got this. Now, if someone you trust says, I've got this, what do? You let go of it, don't you? If you ask somebody, hey, will you pick up my child at school today and all the paperwork's done? And they call you and I ask them, they said, John, I've got this. You know what you do? You take it off your agenda because you trust them. He is faithful. Do you know the Bible said when you judge God faithful, you find strength? Amen. It's an incredible way to live. God has called you to live this way. This is what it means to live a Spirit-filled life. You worship him. You be still in his presence and you worship him. You empty your soul in prayer. You read the Word of God. You read his Word, and then you simply, you sit and you listen, and then you write out what he says to you. Now, I'm gonna take you through a scripture very quickly. I'm gonna bring you now through one of my devotional days. I want this to be so practical you can't miss it. A while back, I was reading out of Proverbs chapter 3, and I wanna show you how I read in my devotional time, because God's word is God speaking to me. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, I don't read it that way, I write it this way. John, do not forget my law or my word. John, let your heart keep my commands. Notice he didn't say my flesh. I'm talking now, I'm reading, and here's how I read it. This is what I'm doing in my devotion. John, don't forget my word. John, do not let your heart, you let your heart keep my word and my commands. Not your flesh, John. You don't have the strength in your flesh, but John, in your heart, you can do this. Now listen to this. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Everybody say add. Do you understand? God wants to add some good things to you. Do you know that God wants to bless your life? A devotional time is when this kind of intimacy, this is how I read it. John, do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Everybody say mercy and truth. Now, a little while ago, I talked about truth. And for some of us in this room, it may have been harsh to hear. But the Bible doesn't say just bind around your neck or write in the tablets of your heart, just truth. He also said write mercy. Mercy is the ability of God to treat you better than you deserve. Mercy is God's willingness, his desire, his heartbeat to treat you, listen to me, better than you deserve. The Bible said Jesus was full of truth and grace. If all you have is truth in your life, it will become a legalistic weapon. Because God is going to show you things in his word. He's going to speak things to your heart, and you're going to struggle with some of them. And let me say it this way. Is anybody here struggling in their life in any area? Would you raise your hand in the house of God? Hallelujah. Well, you might know the truth, but do you know how to let mercy join to truth? Do you know how that when you fail to realize that God has not turned his heart against you? Do you know that he loves you as a father or a mother loves their child? He loves you. He said, and so I read, John, let mercy and truth. Don't let them forsake you. John, don't ever let mercy and truth. And if there's anything we've lost in the church, think of the two things that don't exist in the church. The two things that don't exist are mercy and truth. Christians are legalistic and just mean, or they don't want to hold the truth. We don't want to be judgmental. I don't have an opinion that's going to offend anybody. It's not your opinion. It's God's word. And as a servant of God, I don't get to choose. I don't get to be God. I don't get to make God in my image. Truth is what the church is running away from, and it's the only thing that will make men free. We run from truth and we lack mercy. Those are the two extremes. What a deception. You can have both. You can say, this is what God says, but can I tell you that he's merciful to you as you grow spiritually? He's merciful to you as you struggle in life and work through the issues of your brokenness in your life. He's merciful. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Bind that to your heart, no matter what you're facing in life. That's the God you serve. Amen. And isn't it amazing that if you look at our culture, the Christian culture today, you see two extremes. Christians that are so ticked off and angry and so merciless. And then you have Christians that say, well, you know, who are we to judge? There's no right. There's no wrong. Whatever you like, whatever you like, whatever you like. And we will make God in our image. Tomorrow we're going to make him Aladdin. And then we'll make him the Lion King. And you know, why don't we make him Cinderella while we're at it? He's not a fairy tale. He is God. He's the maker of heaven and earth. And he changes not. And all of the babble of people on the planet doesn't change him. Don't let it change you. But let mercy, and let these, this is how I have my devotional. Let mercy, truth, hold them to your heart. And look at the outcome. John, you're going to find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So here's what I say. I stop right there. I say, Lord, thank you. I thank you. Can I tell you one of the reasons you're sitting in this church today? Because God has given Michelle and I great favor and great grace and great mercy. This church is a picture of the mercy and grace and kindness of God. It's because he loves people. Do you know he wants to give you that kind of favor with the purpose of your life? Do you know a devotional life can help this be cemented in your, is there anything, is there any person, is there anybody, even Chip and Joanna Gaines, that is more important to talk to than have an intimate time with God every day of your life? So important. Verse 5. So John, trust the Lord with all your heart. John, don't lean to your own understanding. Now, I just got to be honest with you. I hear my dad talk to me. He's in heaven now. But I hear my dad say this. Don't be stupid, boy. You don't know everything. We'd start rattling about something, and I won't use the words my dad would have said, but I'd have to beep a couple, and he would say this. He would say, let me tell you something, boy, a lot of stuff happened before you showed up in the world. Shut up. Just shut up. You don't know everything. So I know God's being kind to me. My dad loved me. He was just a little straight. I mean, to the point. John, trust me with all your heart. Shut up. Stop leaning to your own understanding. John, in all of your ways, acknowledge me. I'll direct your paths. I will direct your paths. And then he gives you the reason why people don't follow God. Stop being wise in your own eyes. You're not that smart, boy. I hear my dad say that, boy, you're not that smart. You're just not that smart. You're gonna have to work hard, boy. You're not that smart. I'm teasing. But here's the reality. You're not that smart. Wait, but I have a degree. Great. I have a PhD. Awesome. Can I tell you, your PhD next to God means post-hole digger. It's worthless. I trust you. You can have 9 PhDs and God's not gonna go, Shazam, looky there. Now, I'm all for education. I am in significant debt because of it. Okay, so believe me, I value it. Okay, trust me. I'm thankful for education. But any education that takes you away from the God of creation is stupidity you pay for. And I don't want to pay for stupidity. I can be stupid for free. I'm talking to you about having a devotional life. This is how God speaks to you. John, do not be wise in your own eyes. John, fear me. John, depart from evil. If you do, it'll be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. John, listen to me, son. Honor me with your money. With the first fruits or the 10th part of everything you ever get, you put it in my kingdom. And so shall I fill your barns with plenty. And your vats, they'll burst forth with new wine. You see, this is where you need some mercy. Because let me bring some truth to you that you need some mercy. Do you know a dime of every dollar you ever make is God's, and if you keep it, you stole it? Everybody say mercy. Aren't you? How many of you think you need some mercy if you're stealing from God? How many of you, okay, let me ask you this. If you stole my car today and the police came to me and said, Pastor Nuzzo, so-and-so stole your car. What do you want us to do with him? How many of you'd like some mercy right there? How many of you know that if maybe they wouldn't even let you do it, but like, no, you know what? Never mind. I don't want to press charges. Forget about it. Yeah, but they wrecked your car. I'll deal with it. I forgive them. Let them go. How many of you are glad for mercy that overcame justice? Would you be glad if you were the car thief? I'm talking to you about how God talks to you. John, a dime of every dollar is mine. Honor me with it. And son, I'll do things that you'll never dream possible in your life. Now, I say, Lord, can I show you my checkbook? Lord, can I show you these 3 kids I got over here? Can I show you my house payment? Lord, can I show you that last month I didn't have 10% extra? Lord, we were backwards 5%. And we put some stuff on our credit card just to eat. And now you want me to give you 10%? God, look, I love you, but you live in heaven, I live here. We'll talk later. Right? That's where you need some mercy. That's where you go and say, God, I don't know how to do this. This is your devotional life because God spoke to you. And so what do you say? Lord, I don't know how to get through this. I want to honor you in this area. I really do, but I don't know how. Will you help me? So, well, Lord, what's my next step? I don't know what he'll lead you to do. But I can tell you this, he'll lead you. And he'll lead you into truth. Mercy is not the abandonment of truth. Mercy is the ability to embrace and live, discover and embrace truth. It's an incredible way to live. Let me close this service. Let me read you what I wrote that day. I just simply want to read it to you. I know this is practical, but I want you to know how to have a devotional life. I want you to, because you already got out your smartphones, right? You set your appointment already? Anybody already set an appointment tomorrow? How many of you are going to? How many are just gonna say, shut up, I wanna go home? Okay, I'm talking to you about hearing from God every day. You set an appointment with God. You be still and you worship, you pray, you read the word, and then you listen and you write. I'm just gonna read you what I wrote that day. This is just out of my devotion. In reading Proverbs 3, 1 through 10, I can see the value of spending time in your word and in your presence every day. It causes me not to forget your ways and word that my heart will keep. My heart will keep it, not my flesh. Obedience and the ability to live for you comes from my heart with you, not the strength of my body or my flesh. And in doing this, it will add length of days, long life and peace to me. When I don't spend time with you, these things are subtracted from my life. See, if these things are added through doing it, not doing them subtracts them. I must bind these mercy and truth as twins upon the tablet of my heart. It will cause me to find favor or success with you and with man. When I trust you, I'm choosing not to lean to my own understanding. I must acknowledge you in all my ways, capitalized. And it will result in you, capitalized, directing my paths. I will not and must not be wise in my own eyes. I must fear the Lord and depart from all forms of evil. It will be health or medicine to my body, longevity or moistness to my bones. This tells me that you will keep me vital as I age. I will die young at a very old age in Jesus' name. I must honor you with my income and its first fruits. You will fill me with plenty and I will burst forth with new wine. You will bring a newness and a freshness into my life. I trust you today with my whole life. That's how you have a devotion. He said, Pastor John, I don't think mine could ever be that fluent. That's not true, that's a lot. The same way you have friends that you've developed relationships with that you can talk forever. You'll get in there and you'll think, you're looking down and you think you had, because I have a schedule to keep. I'm getting to the end of my 30 minutes. And there's things coming up in my heart and I just keep writing them down and I keep pondering them in my heart and now it's 40 minutes. And this was a few days ago, or actually about a week or two ago, I don't remember the day. I was going long and I actually had to go get ready for the day. I actually said this. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry, but I have to go. Like a friend. Have you ever done that with a friend? Oh man, I'd love to talk, but I've got to go. That's what I'm talking to you about. I want this summer to be a time of spiritual growth as we talk today about how to pray. Next week, I'll give you some more details as to actually the things to pray that the Bible tells you to pray. Then we're going to talk to you about how to actually study the Bible. And it will be life-giving and practical. We're going to study the book of Colossians this summer. I want this to be a summer where you embrace spiritual growth at a whole nother level. Because there's nothing on the planet you want to do more than be intimate with the God that loves you. Oh, how he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Lastly, can I say this to you? It's through this process that, and following God with your life, that he will take you from your broken places into your purpose. I hope you understand the context in which I say this. You are sitting on a campus today that is touching thousands of people. That is, it's a $30 million campus. I'm a steelworker's kid. Michelle grew up without that background. We're blue collar kids. I don't know what God, how do you do all this? How do you get from starting 23 years ago with nothing but a word from God to this? Can I tell you? It's by honoring God, doing what he said, and honoring him with our giving. And what I've found is that he has caused increase to occur in our life. Now, none of this belongs to us. I don't want it. But you understand, when I say increase, I'm not talking to you about my bank account. My bank account's gonna come and go. I've got kids and grandkids, and I promise you, with my wife, it's gonna go. Especially, she's bad enough with kids. Wait till we get some grandkids. She is going to go. But can I tell you, every one of you in this room, you are my reward. You are mine and Michelle's reward. You are what we prayed for. You are what we longed for. You are the fruit that abounds to eternal life. You are the reason that we honored God 23 years ago and started this church. And I am so grateful for what God is doing in your life. But I also know that he wants to take the purpose in your life and he wants it to be fulfilled. And you aren't going to do that without time with God. So spend it with him every day, okay? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just come in your presence today. And I pray that you cement these words and these thoughts into the hearts of your people. Father, I thank you. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, I worship you with all my heart. I worship you. 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 Oh, I worship you. I worship you. This is so strong in my heart right now for you. You're hearing what I'm saying, and it sounds like a dream to you. This, the Holy Spirit speaking so strongly in my heart. This sounds like a dream to you. It sounds like I could never have this relationship with God. And what I hear the Holy Spirit speaking in my heart, you tell them that's a lie. You tell them that I want to be as intimate with them as they can begin to even imagine. You tell them that do not believe the lie. Do not believe the lie. That I love them, that I'm for them. That there is no weapon formed against them that I can't overcome. There's no enemy that I cannot reduce to nothing. There is nothing before them that's greater than me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, just so strongly in my heart, the more I talked about intimacy with God, the more you even felt discouraged. I want you to understand God knows that about you. He knows what's in your heart. That it actually almost felt like it was driving you further from God rather than closer because you felt like so hopeless. And I want to pray for you if that's you. The Holy Spirit moved specifically just for you. And he wants his presence to fall on you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want me to pray for you, I'll pray for you right where you're seated. But I want you to acknowledge it before God. Say, Pastor, that's actually me. Would you raise your hand right now as an acknowledgement to God? Thank you. You can put your hand back down. Thank you. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray for every person that lifted their hand and for those who maybe were too discouraged to even do it. And I pray that the power of the Spirit of the living God fall on you now. That the very presence of the Father by the power of the Spirit fall on you to strengthen you, to encourage you. Lord, a supernatural presence to lift them. I break that power of heaviness over their life, a spirit of heaviness. I break it in Jesus' name, and I pray life over them. In their pathway is life. They will walk in great intimacy and great favor with you all the days of their life. That tomorrow morning, tomorrow, whatever, when they sit in time with you, that you will show up and you will be real to them as you are at this very moment in Jesus' name. His heads remain bowed and eyes closed. If you're here, this service and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that is, if you were to draw your final breath, you don't know where you'd spend it. Dear one, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun, and Jesus died for sin-stained people like you and me. And there is no way of eternal life other than through receiving Jesus. He said it this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to my Father except through me. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'm going to include you in that prayer right where you're seated. Say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to know that Jesus is my Savior and I'm not sure. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just simply raise your hand real high and I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Do it right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. If you've not yet raised your hand, you say, please include me with those that have. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Say, Pastor, please include me as well. One last moment. Let me wait on you. Wonderful. If you raise your hand or you should have, would you please pray this out loud where you hear it? Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it, and we'll pray it with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart. I open the door of my life. Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God and my sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.